Hey, dear listener, Anthony here. Before we hop into the show, I wanted to let you know about an incredible new resource we just released, The 5 Rules of Investing. Dan and I are huge advocates of modeling the behaviors of the people who have done what you hope to do. And who better to model when it comes to investing than legendary investors like Warren Buffett, Howard Marks, and Ray Dalio? This free ebook breaks down the simple time-tested strategies of billionaire real estate investors that you can use to take your investing to the next level. So head over to InvictusMultifamily.com and grab your ebook today. All right, now let's hop into the show.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. Let's skip the fluff, get straight to the chuff. Is that a thing people say? Ugh,
I don't want to get to the chuff. That sounds kind of gross.
I didn't know what to rhyme with
Stick
fluff.
Stick with meat and potatoes. I feel like you always say like
so meat. Cut the fluff, get to the meat.
Yeah.
That doesn't
I'm hungry.
But doesn't ring off the tongue. It's like just kind of.
I'm interested. I'm trying to go where you're going. Where's the meat?
I got no meat.
All right. Well, what do we have? Isn't that an old... we have anything for the people?
Where's the beef?
Reed's over here bringing back late 90s commercial references.
Where's the beef? We should start this one over.
Oh, this went downhill so quick.
All right, let's try this again. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I am the Iron Man, and this is Dan, the Dire Man.
Sure, Dire. That doesn't sound good.
That can be taken in many ways. Like you're the guy
you're
who's
not
always
in the right direction if you're dire.
Well,
there's a chance you could.
What if you're just a man who goes around dyeing things?
Oh, like tie-dye?
Yeah.
Yeah, could just be the guy that makes everything tie-dye.
You strike me as a guy that has some tie-dye t-shirts in the
closet. I went through a phase when I was 6 when I learned how to do it.
Really?
I think I made one or two. It was one of those things you did at like those summer like day camp things you'd go to. Like you tie-dye a shirt. And like I feel like I made a couple.
I wasn't.
They're not good.
I was never invited to those events. I guess I bite.
Yeah, you're not allowed.
I'm a biter.
Literally on a list.
Actually, I don't think I ever bit. Of all the things that you could lay at the feet of me, of things that I, the horrible atrocities I've committed, I don't think I've bitten very many people.
I don't think I have
probably
either.
Less than 5.
But there was always like a kid who did in school.
Always,
like there was always at least one kid who had bitten and would bite.
Dude, once people peg you as the biter,
yeah.
You got to lean into it.
Same with eating boogers. When we were in Miami,
oh, man,
I watched a guy completely hammered walking by the pool. Liz and I were just watching him. He didn't even try to hide it. Stumbling.
I forgot that's even a thing that people...
Straight up picked in the mouth.
Ugh.
Didn't even try to be sneaky.
Golly, this is like, the worst podcast I've ever been on because now you have brought back terrible memories. I forgot that that's a thing people do.
Yeah, it was usually the biter.
I forgot people put their fingers in their mouth, period.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what... Well, let's get to the point.
Welcome to the podcast. Don't eat your boogers. Let's talk about when you know that you should, when you're doing a value add, should you go DIY, which stands for do it yourself. I just learned that myself.
Thanks.
Or should you hire it out? How do you know when you should DIY versus hire it out? This is an interesting question because I was on an investor call a couple days ago with a guy who... He bought this property, Lakeshore property, about a decade ago. His goal was he was going to build a beautiful lake house there and then rent it out. And this was a decade ago.
Sounds easy.
This was a decade ago. And he's just now was getting around to building a seawall. When he first said build a seawall, I was like, what's a seawall? And I realized he meant like a wall to keep back the sea. And I was like, okay, so you're
that
still...
That seems like an important part.
Very important part. But all that's to say is he was still very, very far away from having this house constructed.
And sounds like he's on like probably step one or two.
Right? Maybe, yeah, pretty much. Like step one, hold back the sea. Yeah. Step two, lay foundation. So all that's to say is like one of the big things I see with people that go the DIY route is they think, like Reed said before we started recording, you're going to save some money and you'll just do it yourself. But what I find... is that is a good way to have a project that never reaches completion.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're like literally a really skilled tradesman.
Totally.
Like maybe not like professionally, but like you know your way around. Like you've helped some guy build a house or like if you've done some construction work, like if you can figure that stuff out, like, I mean, I unless you've got like a really low paying job, it's probably not the best use of your time if you actually do the math. But there is an argument to be made that that's a really great way to get started because it changes the risk profile. It's less capital out of your pocket.
100%.
So I know a ton of guys who have done really well doing it that way. You're not going to scale it.
You're definitely not going to scale. You're going to learn some valuable skills that maybe can serve you in the future as you're hiring out to vendors and whatnot. But in my experience, there's only one demographic of people who should go the DIY route hardcore, like in the beginning. And like you said, it's the tradesmen, or it's the people who just enjoy these types of projects. Like, you were the type of guy or gal who is on your free time on the weekend building a shed in the back, or you're like, I'm going to put up a retaining wall. One of my best friends, Ryan, he is a guy who he's like, hey, do you want to come out to the cabin this weekend? I'm like, sure. We get out to the cabin. He's up at 4 a.m. building a retaining wall. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, I thought you were relaxing. He's like, no, this is my dirt therapy.
Yeah.
Like, he just enjoys it.
Oh, yeah. And that's the other thing I was just thinking too. Like maybe you don't really care about the economic outcome. Yep. Like, you are just the type of guy who wants to take an ugly thing and make it beautiful.
Yeah.
Have at it.
You know, Joe, the guy that we, he's on our board of directors unofficially. technically.
He's on payroll.
So Joe, who's on our, he's been doing this for 30 plus years. We bought a bunch of buildings from him. And he's a good example of a guy who just takes, I think, a lot of personal pride in the process. He loves it. He loves picking out the marble, and he loves like going through the whole process. If that's you, more power to you.
Yeah. That's different though. But I think there's a lot of new investors who get into it with, the intent of kind of like trying to get to where we're at and think that that's like a long-term solution. And, or they just don't know what the hell they're doing and they think it's going
to
be easy.
I would say if you're going to do it, you need to be intentional about why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. If you're doing it because maybe you're a little bit cash strapped in the beginning and you just need to make ends meet, and so you're going to put in the elbow grease and the sweat equity and do the work yourself, that's fine. That's totally fine. Get to the point where you're finally making the money and then you can justify outsourcing maybe. Great. But if the reason that you're doing it is because you do have the capital, but you're cheap and you have this idea of like, I can just do it better myself. I can do it for less. But then the projects are never getting fully completed.
Yeah.
Then you need to look hard in the mirror and be like, okay, maybe this actually isn't for me. Maybe I should be spending the money to get this job done.
Yeah. Quick question. Then we got to wrap it up because this is going to turn into long. But like, you kind of did it this way with that triplex, right? Like, I know you did a lot of repairs yourself.
Yep.
Do you regret that? Or do you like the fact that you took that approach?
I hated every minute of it. It was, and honestly, if it wasn't for my partner, Jamie, she did a lot of the hard, heavy things and was the emotional support.
Yeah, she would be the one bringing all the skill sets.
Totally.
To these and projects.
So I think it was good.
Sounds like you just threw nails.
I threw nails people. And they'd hit the ground and they'd ricochet. Sometimes they'd ricochet towards her. So then she thinks I'm throwing them at her, but not. I'm
I heard there not. Was no ricochet. I heard
they ricocheted. So okay. I would not do it again.
Yeah.
And if Jamie wasn't there and I didn't have the confidence that like somebody on the team could figure it out, then definitely no. I'm aware of my weaknesses. I'm not good with my hands.
So you would never do it again. I never did it and I have zero skills, so I know I should never do it. So
the other thing I've learned is I always thought it would be cheaper, but in the end it's almost never cheaper. Just even something like putting on a door, it took me like 3 weeks, and you add up how much time it took to go back and keep like jimmy rigging it. I was like, I could have just paid somebody and it would have been way faster.
And they would have had it done in 1 hour, one trip.
Yep. Yep. So. Just pay the people. So that's when you know, should you DIY versus, should you outsource it? Honestly, if you love working with your hands, do it. It's great. It's a lot of fun, but also don't let that be the thing that holds you back from scaling. Cause you'll never scale that way for sure. There's a glass ceiling there. So sorry, this episode was very weird. At the beginning, but thanks for sticking with it. I think we delivered the tiniest fraction of value possible.
Felt like a smidge to me.
Smidge?
Yeah.
Smidge is just a bigger, like slightly bigger than a nanometer, right?
It's like a pinch. Like, so if you're going to add some salt.
Is a smidge bigger than a pinch?
A little bit.
Okay.
But not much.
Okay. Well, hopefully you got a smidge of value. Maybe even a pinch. And if not, then we're going to try again in the next episode. I guarantee we will show up.
Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of Multifamily Investing Made Simple. If you enjoyed the show, could you do us a massive favor? Head over to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating and review. Your feedback, it means the world to us as it helps us grow and spread the word about multifamily investing. And don't forget, sharing is caring. So fire this episode over to any friends or family who you think could benefit from learning all about multifamily investing. Thanks, guys. We appreciate every single one of you, and we'll see you on the next show.